The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at CashflowNinja.com. That's CashflowNinja.com. We've got three podcasts there: Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets. You can subscribe to our monthly newsletter, the best Cashflow Ninja's newsletter, in which I share one brand new, well-researched Cashflow Niche every single month. And you can also join a community, our mastermind, Cashflow Nirvana. It's a community of business owners and investors looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, all at CashflowNinja.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Steve Hoffman, also known as Captain Hoff. He is back on the show to give us an update of what's going on with regards to technology, software, and especially AI and robotics. He works and funds entrepreneurs all over the world that's building businesses specifically in AI. He has been on the show before. It was an incredible episode sharing a lot about AI, robotics, crypto, and the metaverse. You could go to CashflowNinja.com and just type in Steve Hoffman or Captain Hoff to listen to his previous episode. Steve, great to see you.
It's fantastic to be here, MC.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to our conversation. As I've mentioned in the intro, Steve Hoffman, also known as Captain Hoff, has been on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. I would highly recommend you check out the previous episode. Just go to CashflowNinja.com, type in Steve Hoffman or Captain Hoff. You'll find that episode where we really went into the five unstoppable forces that you're seeing in the technology world. Steve, but for folks that are not familiar with you, and this is the first time they're coming across Captain Hoff, can you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
Sure. So I am an entrepreneur. I did three venture-funded companies in Silicon Valley. Then I launched Founder Space, which is a global startup incubator and accelerator. We have over 50 partners in 22 countries. I'm constantly traveling. And I've written three books. And the most recent one, which you covered, The Five Forces, is all about AI and transformative technologies. I also have books on startup, surviving a startup, and a book on innovation, Make Elephants Fly. So that's my background. I'm very deep into artificial intelligence these days. We have a venture fund, and we are investing in this sector.
Fantastic, because I wanted to ask you, in your world, what are the most exciting things you're seeing right now? And then we can do a little bit of a more deeper dive into AI. I'm very interested to see what's going on there, the developments since we last spoke, and then also how folks can invest in that. But what are some of the things in your world that you're most excited about right now?
Well, right now, AI is dominating Silicon Valley, especially in the venture circles. It's capturing most of the money. Why? Well, because it's obvious, right? It's so powerful what you can do with AI, and generative AI has taken off and kind of blown the lid off artificial intelligence, showing people hands-on what it can do. But we're seeing a lot of changes in the industry right now. So I caution investors, like if you're an investor out there and you're interested in AI, I will tell you right now that 98% of the companies are not worth investing in.
It sounds a lot like the dot-com, and it sounds a lot like that crypto rush, you know, around about 2017.
That's why you have to be really knowledgeable about what makes a good AI company. So a lot of the AI companies sound great. And like, if you go to their website or you download their app and use them, they perform really well. But all they are is what we call a thin layer on top of ChatGPT. So they don't add really any of their own technology. They're just doing what are called API calls, you know, pulling information from OpenAI's ChatGPT or other sources and handing that to you. And to you, it seems amazing because those platforms are amazing. You know, OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google Bard, Facebook has one. There's a bunch of them out there. They're pretty amazing. But if they aren't adding a lot of value and they don't have any other way to really build a moat around their business, a defensible moat, you have to be careful because those guys are transitory. They are going away.
So this sounds a lot like the companies or projects, as they were called in the crypto space, that were simply just built on Ethereum. And they didn't really add anything else. And maybe there was one little tweak or one little thin layer, like you said, but there's no moat around it. And you basically build it on top of something else. History doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme, right? As Mark Twain said.
Yes.
For folks that haven't listened to the previous episode, so everybody by now knows ChatGPT, what ChatGPT is. But if you don't mind, please briefly just touch on that. And since we last spoke, we spoke around like in February, March, right? So what's that now? 6 months? I mean, I'm losing track of this year. 6 months ago, let's just say we spoke 6 months ago. Things have evolved so quickly there. What has happened in the past 6 months since we spoke in that space with ChatGPT?
Biggest development lately is what they call multimodal AI. And multimodal means you can combine different types of assets into AI. For example, one type of very simple multimodal, which we already have, is I can type text and I can get an image. So you can do that on DALL-E, which is part of ChatGPT. You can do it on Midjourney. You can do it on Stable Diffusion. All these different platforms allow you to do that. So you just type text, you get an image. That's multimodal, going from one mode to another. Now they have an explosion in new applications that you type in text and you get a video out. You type in text, you get music, a music competition. You type in text, you get audio. You can replicate your own voice. You can clone your own voice in AI. And then from then on, you don't have to talk. You can be mute. All you have to do is type and you can use your voice. This is a huge sea change. It's happening very fast. They have applications now where you can put in a video and get text out. You can put in audio and get text out. You're all these different permutations, and they're combining them in unique and creative ways in different applications. You can imagine combining them in virtual worlds, combining them in applications, chat, messaging applications, combining them in dating applications, all sorts of things. AI is permeating everything. I think it's almost safe to say that every single software company out there is also an AI company because they, at least they're an AI in marketing, right? They're putting AI in their name. We use AI because AI is so versatile. They can use it for something. Doesn't really mean that AI is providing an enormous amount of value. So you can't, just judge a book by its cover or a company by its slogan. You have to really look under the hood and see what it's doing for their customers and what unique advantage they have over their competitors. That's where, it comes down to business 101, especially when you're investing.
So for listeners and for viewers, what Steve was just sharing, Captain Hoff was just explaining to you this text to video. So I tried out two podcast AI kind of apps. And I was kind of freaked out because you can upload a video. I can take this, just a snippet of our conversation. I can upload it to this podcast application, which is also video. And then if I felt like, ooh, I missed something, I forgot to ask this question, I can go ahead and type it in and the video, which is me on screen, then inserts that part into the conversation, and I'm talking to the text, which I now just added to this application. It was very eerie to see that.
It's mind-boggling, right? So they can not only replicate your voice now, they can replicate your image, your face, and fill in the gaps. So you can literally create a podcast that never existed just by going back and editing it. And this new wave of AI video applications and audio applications is amazing, and it's super useful. And there are companies out there, a lot of companies competing in the space. Some new ones like Runway ML, there's Descript out there. Adobe, the big guy, is, you know, they have their own suite of these tools, and they're just going to get more advanced. We're really only at the beginning.
Yeah, I think it was Descript that I was playing with. It's just quite remarkable. I want to take a moment to share something very important right now. Are you trying to figure out how to protect your savings from the banking collapse, which has already started, and the coming financial crisis? Most banks will fail. Deposits that are not insured by the FDIC will be lost, and there will be bank bail-ins. And this collapse in the banking system will lead to chaos in the financial system. Banks also provide loans to real estate investors. So what do you think is going to happen to lending in the event of a banking and a financial crisis? You can be proactive and position your savings to protect it, and also have access to it to use it to buy discounted assets by positioning it in your own banking system through the infinite banking concept strategy. Producers Wealth has put together a presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com where you will learn how to position capital outside of the banking system and the Wall Street casino, just like the ultra wealthy, to protect it and create a pool of tax-free liquid capital to capitalize on the massive opportunity to buy discounted assets, which is coming. You can access the presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Are you seeing capital flows? There's so much money going into this. I previously interviewed one of the foremost trend forecasters in the world, Gerald Salenta, with the Trends Research Institute, and he's saying AI is something. This is not a flash in the pan. This is big for investors and for entrepreneurs that want to stay on trend. Also, and we've talked about this before, we've talked about crypto, we've talked about the metaverse. Are you seeing a lot? I mean, because these industries, before AI really spiked up, I'm sure there was already some of the smartest people in the world working on AI. But you're seeing the smartest people in the world still going into these three kind of areas and all of the capital flows? Or has a lot of that kind of like been sucked out of crypto and out of the metaverse by AI?
So it has. But it has for a reason. So the metaverse has never really taken off in the way Zuckerberg or many, many other people predicted. And there's a fundamental reason it hasn't, because people don't care. So most people, you know, they think it's interesting. They try it out, but they don't go back. You know, only a small niche of people are really hooked on the metaverse, because most people don't want to walk around a virtual environment and talk to strangers. That is not interesting. Yep. So people love games. Like, games are going like gangbusters, right? So you could say the metaverse is alive and well in terms of gaming. But without that gaming component, you know, the gameplay mechanics, the metaverse is kind of hollow. It's not that interesting. Like, people don't want to shop in the metaverse. People don't want to socialize in the metaverse. People, you know, got bored of buying property in the metaverse, you know, that all that passed. Same with crypto. Like, crypto, you know, what it comes down to is, what value are you creating? Something people really want and can really use. So there are a few cryptos out there that, you know, they serve a real purpose in the world. You could say Bitcoin does. It's kind of a standard crypto, an alternative for moving your money around the world, you know, outside of government control. So if there's high inflation in your country like Argentina, you could get your money out of Argentina and put it in crypto and get it. If you are an oligarch in Russia, you can put your money into crypto and move it, you know, around the world without people stopping you. There are real use cases for Bitcoin, but for almost all the other altcoins, most of their use cases were either bogus, right? They were made up and people didn't really care. Like, people keep trying to create Web 3.0 social network or Web 3.0 entertainment network. And people don't care about technology. They care about what it does for them. You know, and if it doesn't do anything more than the existing ones like Netflix or, you know, whatever social network you happen to be using, Instagram, they don't care if it's Web 3. And same with crypto. Most of the coins were really kind of a scam. I mean, honestly, it was pump and dump. We've seen it a gazillion times. You know, they pump up the coin, they hype it up, they have a white paper. It doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't change the world. So when you're looking at a company, when you're looking at an investment, if you're looking long-term, like if you just want to speculate, like crypto is great. Like you can bet on these altcoins and yeah, you can get a 10,000% return on if you get lucky, and if not, you lose all your money. You know, it's going to Vegas on steroids, which people love. So it's like a giant casino. But if you want to make an investment for longer than a very short period of time while the hype is on, then you need to look at what does that investment do in the real world? Like, what does it do for people? Like businesses, does it, you know, how does it transform? How does it make businesses more profitable, more efficient? How does it entertain us? How does it provide real value? If you can figure this out with a company and you see, wow, that is a transformative company. They're really doing stuff that I love or that as a business I could use. That's probably a good investment. You know, you're probably, especially if they're the market leader and especially if they have like a network effect or some other moat around their business that's defensible, then you can be pretty sure it's good. If it doesn't have that, run the other way. Or you can speculate, but know you're going to Vegas.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's, you know, like with the example that you used with the crypto, it is, yeah, there is about a handful, even that, actual projects doing stuff that is actually valuable and is needed in an ecosystem. And then you have your bunch of doggy coins. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, doggy coins, right? And things like that, meme coins, you know, they don't mean anything. But you also have to distinguish a very subtle thing. Do those coins... are they only adding value inside the crypto world? Like some of them are very good at creating value inside the crypto world.
Yep.
But that's only good as long as the crypto world matters, right?
Right.
and you know, in the crypto world will only matter, honestly, is if a lot of those technologies make value outside the crypto world. So what I'm really looking at when I look at crypto is what value do you create outside the crypto universe, right? Not just for the people who are totally bought in, but for the rest of the world. If you can do that, that's transformational to me.
Great point. So let's talk about, before I jump into some ideas of what investors should be looking for in a checklist or a reference for due diligence. What's the update on robotics? Because the last time you and I spoke, we were kind of chuckling about the dogs, the police dogs that came out in Singapore and they were pilot tested, you know, around the United States. Now, I mean, we're getting into creepy territory with these robots that recently was displayed as part of this movie premiere. It was this movie premiere that they had all these robots at an NFL game. I mean, we're getting into eerie territory. When is the Terminator coming? Well, what's going on with robotics?
What's happening Westworld? Like, are we going to be living Westworld soon?
Yeah.
If Elon Musk has his way, we will be living Westworld. You know, he has his own robot, right? Tesla has their own robot they're building. I don't know if it's any good or not, or if it's all hype, but they're doing it. Let's understand something. Software can move very fast, right? AI can move really fast. It's software, right? It can scale fast. It can get, you know, application can be at zero and it can be at 100 million and a month later, you know. Robots, they're mechanical. They are hard to build. Like, it's hard to build great robots. Not only are they hard to build, they are expensive to build, right? They have all of these parts, you know, it's big supply chains, you know, shipping them, you know, they break, you know, maintaining them, and they are hard to sell. And they are hard to sell for a premium above what you already spent to develop them and get them into the hands of businesses or consumers. So robots, you know, what's happening right now is the software inside of robots is advancing very fast. And that is great news because that means our robots will be so much more capable. But the fundamental mechanics and stuff is moving much at a much slower pace. So we aren't going to see these amazing robots that are literally our butlers and our assistants at work, you know, going around doing all these stuff, you know, anytime soon for a reasonable price. It's just not going to be here quickly. However, like the big area for robots are simple, repetitive tasks that can be done with intelligence, like RoboVacs. I tell you, I have a RoboVac. I can't live without it now. Like, I love that RoboVac, you know, just turn it on, let it go. Those are getting better and better. We're going to see robots like that proliferating right throughout businesses, factory floors, you name it. Very targeted, focused robots that do one thing really well. And that's here to stay. That's going to progress. These more humanoid, lifelike robots. On the software side, we're getting, you know, literally AI has exceeded the Turing test, right? We, you know, most people, if they're chatting with a chatbot for a short amount of time, not too long, they cannot tell it's a chatbot. It takes them a while to figure it out. So it's past the Turing test. Will that get better? Yes. It's going to get a lot better. There are applications out there like Character AI and a whole bunch of others, Glow in China, a whole bunch of these that are literally creating much more lifelike AIs that can remember things, like have a history. They'll remember what you interacted with them. They will begin to understand your personality, and they will begin to display your own personality. So this is coming. Like, and it's really interesting. And this will be embedded in robots in the future. So we're going to see transformation. I predict most of the really cool humanoid stuff will be happening online far ahead of when it happens in a robot. Like, well, you know, there are already a lot of applications you can download from, you know, the App Store and the internet. That one is called Replicant. And, you know, people, these are little chatbots. They're just chatbots, but people are falling in love with them. They're literally like becoming emotionally attached. Like with Replicant, they actually had to change the algorithm because they got in trouble with, I think it was the Italian government and a few other things. And people felt like their personal intimate relationship with this AI that they had in their head, right? That was killed. Like that AI died. Like they killed off their friend, and they became so, you can go on Reddit and read these, you know, diatribes that people were writing. They felt like as passionate as if you had killed like their dog or cat or even a human friend, because they had gotten so attached to this, what is still a very primitive chatbot. So imagine when those chatbots become much more sophisticated within the next few years, they will be, how attached human beings will become, especially lonely people, people, you know, who want some sort of relationship that they're not getting from their real life. And we have the ability to imagine, like to project like our emotions onto our pets, right? Onto, you know, almost anything. We can project our emotions. We will project that onto robots when they're physical. But even before that, we're going to be projecting it onto these virtual avatars, right? That seem human-like, although they are far from human.
It's almost like that movie where, I mean, there was a relationship with this human and
yeah,
this,
her. This, yes. Yes.
That's right.
We are getting there. A lot of science fiction that we just, you know, watched in the movie theaters is happening right now. And that's the exciting part, right? We get to see it play out in real time. It's exciting. It's scary, right? These artificial intelligent algorithms are so powerful. Like the big wave, the next big wave in artificial intelligence, one is making it more human-like, more, you know, more natural interactions. The other is what they call autonomous AI. Autonomous AI. That is AI, unlike ChatGPT right now, where you can literally ask it a question, get an answer back and forth. Literally, you can set it to do a task, not a simple task, a complex task. And these are just beginning to be coded. They're already in the marketplace, but they're kind of primitive. But where they're headed is amazing, because you, in the not too distant future, will be able to tell an autonomous AI agent, that's what they're called, they're little AI bots, you'll be able to talk to it and say, look, I'm planning a trip to Greece. You know what my travel preferences are. These are the dates I want to go. Can you go figure everything out for me? and book the tickets and book the hotel and let me know. And I'll review it. And if I want to change it, I'll let you know. It'll literally go out and do the whole thing for you. Find the hotel, find the type of room you want, let you, you know, even make restaurant reservations nearby, get the airline, get everything set up for you. And that's just one example. Extrapolate that into business, right? You want to get something done in your business. They're going to have autonomous AIs for the supply chain, for ordering stuff, for project management, for assistance, you know, personal assistance. All these things are coming. They're getting more sophisticated. And that's where it gets really, really exciting.
I want to acknowledge one of our sponsors. Are you ready to ride the wave of success in the booming car wash industry? Tommy's Express Car Wash is the cutting-edge brand that is revolutionizing the way we clean vehicles. Demand for top-notch, state-of-the-art tunnel car wash is skyrocketing. Institutions are diving in headfirst, and the real asset investor is already a step ahead. They have a world-class operations team, and they're building a portfolio of Tommy's Express car washes that's on track to become one of the largest privately owned car wash portfolios in the United States. The margins on a stabilized Tommy's Express car wash are incredible, and accredited investors have the chance to join them on their adventure. Dave Zook, the founder and CEO of The Real Asset Investor, and his team are thrilled to share opportunities like Tommy's Car Wash with accredited investors that boost your cash flow, unlocks massive tax benefits, and get you set up for a lucrative exit just a few years from now. To learn more about the opportunities offered by The Real Asset Investor, you can reach out to them at info@therealassetinvestor.com. That's info@therealassetinvestor.com. Yeah, somebody shared an AI application with me. I forgot what the name was of it. But basically, it's an assistant that will go into your calendar and clear out all of the dead space and then reschedule your appointments and email the people that were already booked for certain times in your calendar to kind of make sure that you don't have any blank, you know, blank space in your calendar.
God forbid we should have any downtime.
Exactly. I'm like, I appreciate my downtime. Thank you. Another quick question. AI wars. We talked a little bit about that too, about players in the space that got in, right? Because Google came in and then Microsoft came in and they all kind of had their chatbots. What's kind of the latest with the AI wars? Is the war already over and won, or is it still like a battle?
I think last time we spoke, you know, Google was under threat. People were selling Google stock. They were worried that, you know, they had missed the boat. And I believe I told everybody out there, don't worry, Google isn't out of the race. This is just the beginning. They were just playing it cautious. They have all the same tech. That's proven out, right?
Yeah.
Google Bard is out there. People are using, I actually use Bard more than I use Chat GPT. It's built into Google search now. So literally you can, you know, there's, if you go to Google Labs, you can literally add it to your search and automatically generates every time you run a search. So it's pretty cool. Which means I'm using it multiple times a day. The big players are in this for the long run. They're spending tons of money, whether it's Facebook, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI. They have other incumbents coming up, Anthropic, Claude, you know, a whole bunch of Stable Diffusion, you know, Midjourney. You know, they're kind of incumbents trying to get push aside the big players. The thing is, the big players are, this is so resource intensive that the big players are still dominant. Right? Because to really run a platform, which is what Google does and OpenAI does, Facebook does, costs a lot of money. However, there is hope for incumbents, you know, upcomers that want to push their way in, because they have new algorithms out there. One was released called Orca by Microsoft, and there are others that preceded it. They came out of Stanford University, this technology. What it does is it allows you to build not, they have these large language models that are super resources intensive, you know, processor memory intensive, right? But they have, they now have smaller language models that can actually learn from larger language models by asking questions and then taking the answers as their data. So instead of building a language model based on a massive amount of data. You build a language model literally based on asking a larger language model a bunch of important questions and getting the answers. These tend to be really, really good when narrowly focused, right? So you could scale down. If you have a specific application, like an IoT application, and you need an AI that can fit on a smart device, like an IoT device, a smartphone, a laptop, anything, right? You can now, if as long as they're well-focused, you can build a very powerful AI on that by without even doing all the heavy lifting that these large language models do that like OpenAI and Google run. And that is a big change. It's a question and answer type interface. So that's one area. Google themselves are like promoting now. They have a language model, a very small language model called Gecko that's designed to run AI on a smartphone. Literally on a smartphone. And then they kind of scale them up. They have bison and all these different fun animal names. I don't know why they like animal names, but the bigger the animal, the bigger the language model. So there's kind of a war going on now. You know, people want to capture not just the massive language models, but they want to capture these niche markets. You know, there's scientific markets, there are business markets, there's entertainment markets that can be much more narrowly focused. They don't need all the data in the world to run. And people are figuring out how to build AIs that are really good in these areas and deploy them across devices and in different environments. So that's where the war is raging right now. And of course, everybody's upgrading their large language models, right? You know, ChatGPT is coming out, GPT-5, you know, Google Bard's coming out with their next version, Facebook open source their version, you know, they're all battling it out to see who can dominate. And the guys with the biggest coffers right now have the biggest advantages. So if you're on a smaller player, you have to look really carefully that they don't get squashed between two giants.
Right. Where does Amazon fit in to this world? Are they looking to get into this too? What are they doing?
Yeah, so Amazon, you know, they partnered with Anthropic, another venture-funded AI model out there. They built AI into their platform. They sort of missed the boat on the consumer side, although they're not really a consumer, you know, their AWS is you know, business facing. Yep. So what they're really looking at is what do businesses need from these large language models? Can we build this into our platform? Can we create value for our customers? I would say they're a little slow out of the gate, but they have a dedicated kind of locked in customer base that is using AWS, and they're going to keep hammering on this. They're putting resources. They do not want Microsoft and Google, especially Microsoft and Google, eating their lunch, right? So yeah. Microsoft and Google are, of course, have the same customers. They have the same cloud platforms that compete with AWS. They are building AI into all there. So everybody, literally to compete, you have to do this. And Amazon is doing this. I haven't, you know, it's time will tell which ones. I think they're all going to be roughly equal over time. Microsoft and OpenAI, Google, they're out of the gate first. They're ahead of everybody, but over time they're going to even out. And customers, you know, if you already bought into AWS, it's a lot of work to migrate to a new platform. So you're probably just going to wait for Amazon to add it.
And what is happening with the government's involvement with it too? Because I just saw the IRS is now even looking at using AI for tax auditing purposes. So it's funny
that's
that
what we all need.
Exactly. Innovation's always happening in the military, right? A ton of innovation and technology gets developed there.
Yeah.
It's just funny that it's now being, you see it in that side of the government. What's happening there? Are governments getting into this too?
They are going to use AI, of course. You know, government agencies are going to be slow. The IRS will see how well their system works and how fast it moves. But it makes sense, right? All AI is really good at pattern matching. There's absolutely a pattern to people who commit tax fraud. So if you are committing tax fraud, I'm sure AI is extremely useful in ferreting out those individuals or those companies that are not paying their fair share of taxes. And AI will be used there. Military, you know, US does not want to lose their AI edge because the US absolutely knows that the future of warfare is AI. It is not human beings making the decision. Humans are too slow, too error prone, and not data driven. AI is the opposite, right? It's like super fast.
Yep.
You know, it is, it can make decisions literally in, you know, a nanosecond that might take us minutes or even hours to make, or we could never make them because we don't even have access to process all the data. Our brains are only so big. So, and you know, you're flying these drones out there, they're all missiles and, you know, you name it, airplanes are all going to be controlled by AI. You know, they're already, a lot of them are controlled by AI, but they're all going to be completely controlled, and they will be, despite what military people may say, they will be autonomous, meaning at some point humans are not going to be in the loop, which is really scary. So humans won't be in the loop, and I'll tell you exactly why. Imagine you have two AI-controlled fighter jets or drones coming at each other, right? If a human has to make the decision of what to do next, it's already lost, like against the AI. The AI is going to make a decision much, much faster than the human can even think, and it will outmaneuver and destroy the enemy. So, you know, right now, they say we have humans in the loop at some point, but I can almost guarantee you those humans are going not going to be in the loop in the future. It's scary. It's true. It's the world we live in. We have to figure out how not to destroy ourselves with this amazingly powerful technology. Biden announced that, you know, he doesn't want Americans working on AI in China, right? So if you are not allowed to export that technology to China, along with chips and quantum computing, you know, very sensitive, you know, technologies, because it's a national security concern. The problem is that if you aren't allowed to export AI to China, it's really, really difficult, because literally, like I said earlier, every single application out there now has AI in it. Like, and how do you distinguish between a social application or, you know, an entertainment application or just a vanilla business application with AI and something that's really could jeopardize national security? That's the headache the government has. That's what they're trying to figure out. They don't want to stifle business. They don't want to make U.S. companies less competitive in China and other countries. At the same time, they don't want the technology leaked that they consider sensitive technology. So we're walking a fine balance right now, trying to figure this. The government has to figure it out. It's hard for government officials to figure this out, because it's hard even for people in the technology sector like me to figure it out.
So for investors looking to invest in AI, what kind of checklist or I would say a structure could you give investors to evaluate AI deals?
Okay, so we do this. Like, I do this all the time because I invest in AI with our fund, and I advise other funds to do it. Really, I say at the end of the day, look at the business. Look at the business. What are they doing? Don't look at the hype. Don't look at the buzzwords. You know, what does that business do? What value do they offer their customers? What competitive edge do they have? If they are using AI, which they would be if they're an AI company, what does that AI do for their customers? And why, what is to stop anybody else from just copying them, right? Is there any sort of barrier to entry that they have? Like, do they have any sort of unique technology? Do they have unique access to data that nobody else has? These are really important things. Like, if you have proprietary data, your AI is going to be able to do stuff nobody else will do, right? So if that's your business and you're using AI on top of it, you're in a really good defensible position. Look at what, are they using other people's technology? Which is okay. You can use other people's technologies. A lot of times you'll use OpenAI, but you'll have your own proprietary database, right? That isn't available to everybody else. So there are different things, relationships, business relationships. Do they have a competitive edge? If they go in with an AI product, do they already have an installed base? Look at Adobe, right? They weren't first out of the gate with their AI application. Midjourney and DALL-E and all these people beat Adobe. But Adobe has tools for artists and creators. It's the market leader. People have bought into those tools. So they have a competitive edge, right? They have all these people using their platform who have learned it, who, don't want to switch, high switching costs. If they literally put the same features in their tools that other people have out there, they're going to be more powerful because they're in Adobe's tools and enhancing their tools as opposed to some upstart, right?
Right.
So you've got to look you got to look at these. So there are a lot of companies out there that are now adding AI. You have to look at what they have now and what AI will do for them against the competition. And before you invest in any company, do your own market research. Like, look at the competitors. Like, go out. My checklist is look at all the competitors. You can ask the company about the competitors. A lot of times they'll kind of gloss over it. You have to do your own homework. Talk to their customers, especially if they're B2B customers, even if they're consumers and they have a product on the market. Talk to their customers. Get inside their heads. Are they really solving the problems that matter to the customer? Why is the customer switched to them? Why do they stick with them? These are the important questions. Well, you know, what and how is AI playing a role in that? Like, is it a pivotal decision? And what other products would they use or could they use? And would they switch to those? What would get them to switch again? These are really important things. Once you start to understand this, then you can make very educated investment decisions.
What are the ages of the founders of a lot of these AI companies? Is it kind of very similar to, you know, the dot-com where you had these young guys, the Steve Jobses and Bill Gates, and then you had the social media companies, the Zuckerbergs and all these guys, and then the crypto? Is it a younger generation, or is it a kind of like a mixed group of folks?
Well, yeah, you know, startups naturally skew younger because young people can take more of a risk. And yeah, it's guys and gals, girls too, like, you know, they're out there. And they can take more of a risk at a young age because they don't have a family, they're not locked into a job, they don't have a mortgage payment, they can just, you know, jump in and jump out. The question though, age, you know, people tend to, oh, they're young, I should invest in them, they get it. Actually, in technology, even in technology, but it's true across all business sectors and entrepreneurship, you know, people in their late 30s and early 40s tend to be the best investment. They tend to be the best investment. They have that actual experience running a business. They've learned a lot. A lot of times they failed and, you know, restarted and, you know, figured things out. They tend on average to be more successful than those in their 20s. And so if you're investing and you can find smart people who are a little more mature, have a deep understanding of the technology and a vision for the future, you know, don't be age biased, right?
Like, right,
those people actually, they might be a little older, but they actually probably have a bigger chance of getting a return on your investment.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlements Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. If you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements. The password to access that webinar is Penumbra, all lowercase. What other space besides AI in your world that you're looking at, what other areas is of interest to you and looking very interesting?
So I tend to invest heavily in software companies. So I'm, you know, AI is a big one. I look at all software and all software innovation. You know, it's always happening, right? There are always new innovations. The reason I like software is because it scales really fast, right? I can put in money and it's not capital intensive. You know, you can look at clean energy, green tech, all this stuff. Super good stuff going on, requires a lot of capital, right? So you know, to deploy. And so for a lot of people, you know, you're giving them, $100,000, $200,000, it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Space tech, a lot of capital is required. But if I'm looking at space tech, I'm looking at software elements of space tech, right? How can you enhance this business with software for satellites, for, you know, the management, procurement, whatever it is that space tech needs. I look on the software side. Other areas I'm excited about, I mean, I love the whole change that's going on now with gene editing. So gene editing, gene therapies, hugely promising, right? It's the source code to life. It's literally software of existence, right? Of plant and animal existence. And we have figured out the code. And we are now developing the tools, these gene editing tools like CRISPR, to actually edit that code. And those are only going to get more successful. So over time, we're just going to see an explosion. And gene edited everything, fruits, vegetables, livestock, medical therapies, you name it. That's a huge, huge area I'm super bullish about. Another area that's exciting is new materials. But again, new materials, capital intensive, long time horizon, right? Very hard to invest in as an individual investor. But, one new material can literally transform our entire economy. Like these materials can become superconducting material for, creating chips, a material for lightweight construction, all sorts of materials are coming out that are mind blowing. There's so many different areas that are exciting now. I can't even cover them all. Ag tech, huge. I mean, literally, agriculture is and technology are so powerful for increasing crop yields, for distributing, the produce and livestock around the world, for all of these things. Very, very exciting time in that space. So I tell people, look at areas that you are passionate about, that you are interested in researching, and technology will affect every single one. It doesn't matter if it's entertainment, fashion, media, like I've mentioned a whole bunch of other areas, industry, manufacturing, every single sector, every single industry is undergoing transformation. So if there's an area you're really interested in, I guarantee you these technologies are going to be impacting it, and there are investment opportunities.
Steve, where can folks follow you? Where can they stay in touch? And where can they just stay informed of all the many things that you're involved in? And maybe if you don't mind sharing more about Founderspace and some of the other things that you're involved with.
Sure. So anybody who wants to reach me can literally go to founderspace.com, founderspace.com. You can contact me, my contacts there. I have tons of videos for people, on investing, on startups, on innovation, all these things. And I respond to the emails. So if you go to the site, you can literally contact me. I'm also on all the social networks. You can search for Founderspace, search for my nickname, Captain Hoff. I will pop up. You will see me. Right now, we are putting a lot of effort into AI. Right. So we're bringing in AI startups. We're investing in those startups. We're growing those startups. We're based in Silicon Valley, but I work all over the globe. So I travel literally, I'm constantly traveling. I just got back from Asia. I will leave for Asia again shortly. I'm constantly going, to Singapore, Malaysia, Hong Kong. I'm going to Europe. And what I'm doing when I'm in these countries is I'm looking for amazing entrepreneurs that I can invest in, I can educate, I can bring back to Silicon Valley, and I can help them grow their companies. So that's what I do. That's what I'm passionate about. If you're an entrepreneur out there, if you're an investor out there and you want to reach out to me, by all means, just contact me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show and giving us an update and your insights of all the exciting things that's going on with technology, software, and AI and robotics and so forth. Always a blast to have a conversation with you.
Thank you, MC. It's been wonderful.
And thank you to you, the listeners and the viewers, for spending the most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. CashflowNinja.com. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals. And you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.